Welcome to Starter Set. My name is Ed Sylvester. This is
Sam Bradley.
And welcome to the show that takes you deeper into the pages of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, that's the week. That's the show. Goodbye, everybody. No, hello, Ed. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing all right. Are we starting with my week this week? Should we start with my week?
Yeah, because I feel like I've been portrayed to be quite selfish after you came after me. I think it was last week, like, oh, thanks for asking, Sam. Well, fucking, I don't actually care because I'm in half of it. I already know it. I'm doing it for the audience, so fuck it. Yeah. How's your week been, Ed?
My D&D week has been quite a fun one. I've had a little bit of D&D lethargy or lethargy.
Oh, okay.
Or lethargy. And I think I'm probably not the only one who's ever experienced this. I'm sure there's plenty of players and DMs out there. Because obviously I play a lot, right, of a lot of games and things like that. And I've also been playing for quite a while now. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been clicking with my games as much as I usually do. I think that's the best way to say it. So it's been a bit weird for me. Which is okay. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I thought I'd bring it up, because I think some people come across that and they're like, oh, maybe I just don't like D&D anymore. I'm like, no, it's just a phase. Like, you do, you just nip in and out of it sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought I'd say it and bring that up on that one.
No, I think that's a damn good point. I think a lot of people have that with a lot of shit that they really like. Mm. And D&D is one of those things that once you start to love it, it fucking grabs you and it will not let go.
Yeah, exactly. And I also know that we see a lot of the content that we absorb out there is like people at the top of their game who are putting on a show and don't kind of, you know, in the same way that you don't experience it as a home game because they're aware that they're putting on a show. So things like rules as written and you know, stuff that would potentially slow up a game just gets completely thrown out the window and it's all very well ironed, I think is the best way to say it. But no, it's been fun. We had a great time with the campaign that myself and you play in.
Yes,
my goblin wizard, always quizzical in every single thing in the world, and doesn't really have a sort of ethics committee behind him is the best way to say it. He grew back. So we basically found these giant healing pods which can restore you, right? And as an experiment, he got one of the other characters to cut off his ear.
Yeah.
Jumped in the healing pod, boom, ear grew back, but we left the other ear outside. So he comes outside and he's like, right, well, I've got a copy of my ear. Fantastic. And people are like, oh, wicked, what wonderful thing would one do with a copy of their own ear? You know what I mean? It's like the Doctor Who and the hand that Captain Jack uses.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, all right, fine. And then we got to basically an outside cookout, and I was like, this will be interesting. So I asked the NPC if they could, like, you know, cook up my character's ear for him, and just to try it, just to be like, what happens if you eat your own ear? Which I'm not sure if there is an ethical issue with that. Is it cannibalism if it's yourself?
I don't think not. I mean, technically, it's kind of like, is it like masturbation? I don't think so.
Is that when people chew their own nails?
That's closest than what I was going to say. Yeah, it's not like you're anyway. If it's with your left hand that you chew the nails off, it's like it's someone else.
Oh my god.
My D&D week was good, thanks for asking. Oh, doesn't feel good, does it?
No, it's fine. I was going to get there and I have no regrets. So obviously, and in that campaign, it kind of ended with a bit of a strange bang, Sam. All centered around your character. So why don't you tell the lovely, sweet people, the listeners out there, what happened?
So I have been... Okay, so you know when you're playing a video game and you want to get a flavour for it, so you create a character and then you're well aware that you're probably going to get 20% in and then cut it and then go back and do it how you want to do it, not just because you're fucking all over the place experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had that relationship with my first character in this campaign. And I'd been talking to the DM for a little bit about, hey, I got this idea for character. Hey, I got this idea for character. And then I stumbled upon an idea for character. And I was like, oh, this guy's fun. And his backstory is one that I care about. And it's not necessarily a backstory that's like governs his entire world.
Mm.
It's a backstory that moves forward with the character. And I just put it to the DM and I was like, hey, look, is it going to derail your story? He was like, no, I got this thing, I can move stuff and da 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 da. And I was like, great, because I've got this idea. And he was like, cool, when do you want to do it? And I was like, fuck, next session. And he was like, okay, well, we'll do a little bit of this so it's not like a total poof and Oki disappears. But be ready. And I was like, fucking fine. And then, yeah, it took us a little while to get there. But now you guys just met him and kind of got like a little flavor of what he's about. But it was just fucking fun to like, not that I don't like my other character, but I think it's kind of like a lesson out there. And I think I tweeted this, when's this going out? Friday, so yesterday. Like, if you're bored of your character, just talk to your DM. And they'll do it. It's something you've got to have a conversation around, but they can easily do it and swap it out. And, you know, we had a conversation about how we wanted one character to depart. Then, you know, it happened. And I played it for realsies. Like, I didn't want to like, oh, here it comes, and sort of throw the other players out of the story. But yeah, so I've got another character. Cormoran Veal, and he talks like this, a little bit like Yenia Scrave from Tarfage, because it's an accent I can do quite well without trying. But no, he's a real cool dude.
Yeah, well, look, I sometimes those things can feel quite ham-fisted, especially when it's mid-story. And actually, I think it went quite well. Because interestingly enough, Anoki has disappeared through a magical means beforehand. And as also, he's a planar traveler anyway, right? So we, as characters, and this was quite difficult to do, because I think everybody kind of knew that that was kind of like the last time we'll be seeing him, maybe. But as characters, we were all like, okay, we saw it, he saw his mum and he disappeared, so he's probably gone home. And we don't have to go through that like weird grieving process that sometimes characters feel, or players I find feel obliged to do, because one of their team's gone.
Yeah.
It's a good way to do it. I quite enjoyed it.
It reminded me a lot of when, okay, this is maybe a little obscure. You know, in Doctor Who, Christopher Eccleston's Doctor Who, where they go back to London and fight the Slovene and win, and then Rose Tyler's mum's like, okay, so you're going, and Rose is like, oh yeah, but this is a time machine, I can go and have 1,000 adventures and come back in 10 seconds. And they obviously, you know, the TARDIS dematerializes, and then Jackie Tyler counts 10, and she's like,
oh, yeah,
okay. And it was kind of bittersweet like that, not like, oh my god, he's gone down in a hail of arrows, but it's quite bittersweet in the way that it was like, oh, he disappears, he'll be back.
Yeah, exactly.
Think.
Yeah, yeah. That's quite. That's a good. The feeling that you've described there is quite a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's play some ads, and then we will get into the last fantastical subclassical.
Ooh. It's season finale. Oh, thanks to everyone who tuned into the Tarfage season finale double bill. Meant to talk about that earlier. I was talking about my kilt wearing tiefling instead, but we'll get around to that.
Ads.
Looking for an RPG podcast that isn't just D&D?
Roll to Cast is the answer.
No, wait, sorry. What games have we played so far?
Well, we've done Cyberpunk 2020.
What does it mean to have a voice?
And there's going
to
be something big coming, Chumba.
Hey, if you're listening, I won. I beat you. You suck.
There was a time when we were slamming things against our phones and...
Vampire the Masquerade.
Chloe, Sam.
You can't use those words!
He's going to grab Vincent, press him against the wall.
I mesmerize him.
This is Adelaide's Anarch movement.
First out of your chair, your hand goes to your gun and you draw.
Pulp Cthulhu.
Told you I had it.
Oh, we've all got the creeps going. I love it so much.
Hi there.
Screechy child.
You're my favorite daughter.
Maybe after what we just seen, we're feeling a bit trigger happy.
And the new Cyberpunk Red.
Babe, you're good, but better.
Thought maybe you might be able to give me a counter off.
Dos Fidania.
Straight through his neck.
I don't see bone either, but I'm not gonna look.
My leg's fine.
I always knew you wanted to fly, kid. Come find me.
Roll to Cast.
R-O-L-E.
A new game every season.
Original music.
Original stories.
Interviews with the creators.
And delightful Aussie accents.
Listen to us on all good podcatchers.
You can support us on Patreon for bonus content.
That's Roll to Cast.
R-O-L-E.
Come discover a new world.
Welcome back, ladies and gents, to Fantastical Sub Classical this week.
Now, are you glad that it's over because you don't have to say that again?
What, Fantastical Sub Classical? I think...
Don't show off.
I think we should make a Andrew Lloyd Webber style musical based upon just those two elements and write a hit musical with the entire theme tune of Fantastical Subclassical, you know, Fantastical Subclassical. Really, rolls off the tongue.
It does, but alas, that idea is making me sort of feel a little, I had quite an aggressive reaction to it just here on the mic. And maybe we don't do that. Maybe we tell them about our fifth and final homebrew subclass. This is coming from the brain of Ed Sylvester predominantly, so, you know, it's actually going to work, ladies and gentlemen. What are you bringing us?
So, ladies and gents, hold on to your butts because this stuff's about to go off. I'm talking explosive, son. I'm talking bang. I'm talking black powder. I'm talking fireworks, baby! I bring to you the Rogue Archetype Detonator.
Now this, straight off the bat, with the gusto that you presented this with. Thanks. And the sort of little bit of, you know, surrounding information. Rogues are usually quite quiet, Ed. And it sounds like you've just sort of decided to throw a lot of that out the window and set fire to it.
Yes. So the idea with the Rogue Archetype Detonator is not a rogue who, you know, uses stealth as their primary point of infiltration. Instead, they use distraction. Those distractions, typically explosive devices, okay? Or, do you know what? I'll tell you how I came up with this. I was recently playing the fantastical card game Ashes Rise of the Phoenixborn. And bizarrely, they've got a real affinity for, on their cards, a couple of like things. One of them is ninjas and the other one is birds. I don't know why, they tend to have...
I love both those things, so we're good.
But surprisingly, no ninja birds, so we'll see if that happens. Anyway, I was looking at one of the ninjas cards, and he has these little dynamite sticks in between each of his fingers like Wolverine, and I was like, that's what I'll do. I'll do a rogue bomber detonator type person. So that's where the inspiration came from on this one. So these are the guys, and I thought ninjas, and I also thought like smoke bombs, and then I was like, right, well, ninjas are all about tools. Why don't we just create like an explosive ninja where they've got all of their tools are based around these created explosives? And, I, you know, again, much like when I was talking about the Bastion fighter, I don't think I'm the first person to think of this, and I don't think I'll be the last, but there are different ways about going about it. I've seen things like the Saboteur and a Grenadier all over the shops.
But it's kind of fitting with the rogue, like it's a very precise thing because it's chemistry, isn't it?
Yes.
But it's based thing. It's the artistry of destruction. It's the balance of like one too many and it's gonna go bang and it's gonna blow some stuff up. But actually, if we blow one corner of that building up, we can take out everyone inside and we can then just walk in and the safe will be on top and I can just tick, pick the safe because it's on the top floor. And it's kind of like the you ever see, is it Ocean's 11, the first one? They like set off the charge above the house and it bounces the house because it's in Venice, like a quarter of an inch and they can fire a grappling hook or some bullshit like that. But that's the kind of vibe that I'm getting.
It is exactly that. So I took the ninja thing and then I was like, also you've got heist movies where you do have that explosives expert. And I was like, how cool would it be to have like a party of just rogues and you just do a heist? Two shot, you know what
I
mean?
Because you've got like the mastermind, you've got the thief, you've got the
swashbuckler.
Yeah, exactly, right. And then you've got the explosives guy.
Yeah,
sorted.
Exactly. Yeah, so let's get into it. So this all culminates in a couple of fun mechanical bits and bobs for you to strap on, light the fuse and walk away. Number one, level 3, okay? So you get two abilities here. Number one is called Fuse, which you learn to the Produce Flame cantrip, and you become proficient in alchemy tools.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because it's just... I have a lighter. Although that doesn't actually come into play on any of the explosives. I just like the fact that you can do it.
Yeah.
Number three...
Well, sometimes you might have to set something else off.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you always need the ability to create a bit of fire. Mm-hmm. You also get, at level three, explosive recipes. And this is the core mechanic, right? So... when you select this archetype, you unlock the knowledge to create explosive devices to aid you in your roguish undertakings. During your short rest, you can craft explosive devices equal to the amount of sneak attack die you have. Okay, so it scales the amount of these bombs you can create, scales with the amount of sneak attack die that you roll.
That's elegant.
Yeah, and these must come from the list of recipes that you know, okay? So I've taken a little bit of the Battlemaster Fighter and how he has his maneuvers. Mm-hmm. And he only knows a set amount of those and he can come and basically pick those and then you just carry on working with them. And you can use these as an action. You've got a bomb save DC, blah, 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 blah. So let's get into those actual explosives because there's quite a few. And to be fair, we could be here for a while as we go through them. So I'm not going to give you the mechanical benefits. I'm just going to run through and give you like a, this is what it should do. So number one, smoke bomb. It's basically the fog cloud spell that you just throw and then poof, you've got mm-hmm. cover. Gas grenade. It's the stinking cloud spell. So, you know, poof, and then everybody's throwing up. Flashbang. Blind, deafened for a moment. Breacher is like mm-hmm. knock, but with a decreased audibility, because when you usually use knock, it's like 300 feet. This one's only 10. So this is how I get into places. Yes, exactly. It's exactly that. It's the explosion you hear on the other side of the door. You know what I mean?
It's kind of like the thing that Chris Nolan's Batman has. The little thing he throws onto the wall and it's just like a very controlled... blows
yes.
the
log. Yeah, exactly. Incendiary device, which does exactly what it says on the tin.
Mm-hmm.
Water bomb creates 30-foot sphere of water that basically fills wherever it goes into. So just... If everything's
cool.
on fire after you've blown up with your incendiary device, you can go, right, we probably need to get rid of this.
Mm-hmm.
Psh. Grenade, which is basically replacing the way you do your sneak attack with a grenade, which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Tripwire, exactly the same thing, but you've got it's kind of like the ward spell. Concussion, mm-hmm. which is all about moving people around and knocking them prone. And then finally, your timed explosion, which is primarily there as your distracting piece.
That's good.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, can you get a tripwire or like a grenade and pickpocket it into someone's pocket and just let them walk away and the wires just click, boom.
Do you know what? I actually don't have a detonator one. So you can probably do... Oh, hang on. I've missed one of them. Sticky bomb.
There you go.
I missed the sticky bomb. The sticky bomb is exactly that. So it's a walk away, boom. So those are those, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea on this is you choose your selective bombs and then you're ready to rock and roll in however you want to do it. I don't think you'll get to a point where you can choose every single one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
But I like that because
it's a trade out.
Gives you the, as you mentioned, the Battlemaster, it forces you to kind of still have that level of elegance in, okay, what do we need? Is it going to be a city campaign? Cool, well, I'm going to choose X and Y. I'm going to choose, you know, the knock bomb, the fucking door blow bomb, and maybe the fire bomb, and maybe the tripwire, because it's going to be fighting in enclosed environments, and I'm going to potentially be up a clock tower with a crossbow trying to kill someone, and I'm going to need a tripwire behind me in case I get sneaked up on. That
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. So those are the bombs themselves. Then at level 9, and this is where stuff starts to get really interesting, you unlock Smooth Detonator, which
lovely.
I 100% called it that so I could do that mm-hmm. as part of the show.
Of course you did. You thought of the gag and worked backwards. Of course you did. They've listened to this show enough.
It no longer takes an action to be able to use one of your bombs. It's now you can use your cunning action instead.
That's good.
Yeah, so nice and easy. So what this means is you can do things like throw your smoke bomb, give you cover, and then you've got that hidden element when you want to go.
Oh shit, yeah, and then shoot them.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously you've got to shoot through, if you're going to use an arrow, you've got to shoot through the fog, which means that you're going to have the disc. So it's all that sort of interesting stuff where you're creating your own distraction or things like that.
Or you could I'll just get my eyeglasses and smoke bomb.
Yeah, like, and then run.
Krieger in fucking Archer. Smoke bomb.
Exactly.
Or the, what is it, that TikTok sound? Call an ambulance, but not for me. And drop a grenade and get the fuck out of there.
Exactly, which leads quite nicely into my next one, which is Explosive Getaway. So, level 13, after resolving the effects of one of your explosives, you can immediately take a move action. This works really well with the sticky bomb, because that blows at the end of an enemy's turn that has been stuck. So you can do your move, your entire turn, sticky bomb somebody, disengage, move away. They then go, oh my god, run away, and then boom, and you get another move halfway through sort of the initiative roll. So it kind of breaks things up. It also means that it gets around something that Dungeons & Dragons has a bit of an issue with, which is, I've done my turn, I'm going to sit back for the next 20 minutes while everybody else does their turn, and then you go, basically, back round to my turn, because you're waiting for these things to happen now, right? Then, at level 17... the final elements to our explosive rogue detonator, we get two more elements. Number one, fashioned bomb, where you're no longer affected by your own explosive devices.
That's cool.
And then number...
like a shaped explosive. That's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of going, I've spent enough time with my devices, I've spent enough time like fashioning these things, that I know if I'm going to use this one, I'll put a rag over my mouth, or if it's this way and I turn it that way, then the most of the explosion will head that way, or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other element that you get with that one is the dead man switch. So upon hitting zero hit points, you can use one of your prepared explosive devices, but its range is reduced to zero.
So beware the cleric that goes, oh no, Jemima's down. It's like, I'll get bandages. I'll get. Can anyone hear ticking? And then that's it.
And then, boom, white and. Yeah, exactly.
A holy symbol lands like 4 miles the other way.
I did try and think of putting a holy hand grenade into this as part of it, but I did think that might have been a bit too tongue in cheek and very specific. So, you know. But.
Oh, that's like a heal bomb. One that's like a bottle of medicine that just...
Either that or one that is does divine, like, divine damage. When you
oh, like radiant. Like that fucking bomb that Van Helsing has.
Yes. In...
You don't know what it does? I didn't say that. What it does is create a light more powerful than the sun. What it's for, I don't know. And he uses it to kill all the fucking vampires in the house.
Exactly.
Which raises questions to the lore of vampire in that film and that universe, but... this isn't the time or place.
I don't know. This is the second time we've talked about that Van Helsing film on this podcast.
It's underrated, let's be honest.
That's exactly what we said the first time. It is underrated.
It is. I fucking stand by it, clearly. I don't it's even remember great, saying that.
Great soundtrack. I'm pretty sure I said that the first time too.
Is that what you're pulling out of that? The soundtrack? Anyway, I like this subclass, Ed.
Yeah. So that is the Rogue Archetype Detonator. That's the end of the breakdown. Which means that, Sam... Ooh.
There's a wonderful box, and it's always ticking. Didn't think of the end, because it's really hard to rhyme with ticking. It's Sam's character box. It is. I was kicking, licking, sticking. I don't know. I want to do a Sicantio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking... you get all that stuff and your little bombs and stuff, and what can you do as a Sicantio? You can squeeze yourself through really small gaps. So it becomes like this whole other thing, this infiltrator. And I think it's going to be a standard rogue. Like, there's someone carrying out assassinations and no one knows how the fuck they're doing it because they're all like closed door, locked room murders. Well, it's this Sicantio that's going in and sort of in through the plumbing and then... planting a bomb and then out again.
Man.
Yeah.
I did not realize how creepy Sicantios basically are, now
it's
that
like
you've said that.
Randall from Monsters, Inc. You think you're safe, and then this thing sort of blah, 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 across the ceiling, and it's like, oh, it's a shadow, it's fine. That's just if nothing looks like that, and then it comes down behind you.
It's the T-1000, or T-3000? Which one's the Terminator that goes
T-1000.
Liquid?
T-1000.
It's the 1000.
It's a far more effective killing machine. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. I'm so pleased. I'm so pleased you did that. Yeah, I like it. I mean, it works quite nicely. I suppose as well with those guys and with the Sicantios and the way that they operate, their discovery of like explosives and explosions is just learned over time. They've just gone, oh, if I strike this rock with this rock, then I get a little spark. And then
you're making these explosives. I use 4.2562 grams of black powder. Oh, you use half a gram of black powder. No. I use 4.... because they've been doing it for years. And if you want to play one of these and you haven't got the starter set manual of Homebrew Heroes, make them a Tabaxi, because they have that Dexy, creepy, locked room. Only they can scale and climb and get in and do all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, the natural climb speed with the old claws, that works quite nicely as well. Like it. Wicked. So let's bring the show to a close. Boom! That's a surprise. There we go, a little explosion. Didn't expect that, did you? You're all like, oh, we're
never
all safe now. It's fine. Let's bring the show to a close. You've been our listeners. We have been Starter Set. Roll well, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
What I wanted to do was make him a gangi, though. So he's down, level 17, they're closing in, and they're like, oh, we got to get Gordon out. And he's like, gangi. And he just pulls all the pins out of his vest and he runs into the crowd of zombies. Gangi! That's it. Bye, everybody.
Hey there. My name's Jameson, or Big Cat.
And I am Brenna, or Mother Goose.
And together, we are the hosts of The DL, Weekly Gaming News.
Each week, we bring you the top stories from last week, as well as something you might have missed.
Our goal is to start a conversation about what's going on in the world of gaming.
And every week, we have a special guest join us in the chat room, where we discuss a different gaming-related topic and learn more about our guests and the 60-second download.
And if that isn't enough, we also have Slim Jims.
So come and hang out with us every week and join in on the conversation.
Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Stuart.
And we're from the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
We talk about all things connected to D&D lore.
And we're on the Robots Radio Network. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons or you're into lore, then come check us out. You can find us on any podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts.
Roll more dice.
That's the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.